We all have stories of loss, suffering, pain, and waiting. But there are also many stories of the goodness and kindness of God, stories of courage, stories of hope. Restoring Hope is about being reminded that we are not alone and that there is freedom on the other side of our waiting. Psalm 130 verse 7, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. I'm your host, Charlene Saker. Let's go on this journey together. Good morning, everyone. Such a pleasure to be with you. This is Restoring Hope, and I'm Charlene. And so if you've been following me over the last month, you'll know we've been speaking about messy motherhood. And I've had such an incredible range of guests over the course of the month, people that kind of are speaking from all different perspectives of motherhood. And so today is also very special, and we're kind of ending off this theme with a bang with an incredibly lovely special guest, Renelwe Dube. Hey, Renee.
Hi, Charlene. Oh, no pressure.
No. So you know, one of the big parts of messy motherhood is how do we balance these roles as a mom and a wife and someone who works? You know, it's a reality for so many women in this country or all over the world, is that we can't really not work. Either you're a single mom and you're the main breadwinner, or you just need to supplement the income. I mean, life has just become so expensive. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you just feel like called to what you do. And so, you know, part of this conversation is how do we balance all these roles that we play and really feel like we don't have to do it all. We don't have to do it all perfectly. Mm-hmm. So Renee's going to be chatting with us about her story. Renee is a mom of three. She's a wife to Katlego, and she's an industrial engineer who loves working with people systems. And so works in organizational executive leadership space. So very excited. Thanks for being here, Renee.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah. So we're going to chat to her in a moment. Don't go anywhere. We're going to chat to Renee about balancing work life, mom life, all of the above. So we are here with my guest, Renee Dube. She's a mom of three, and I'm going to actually let her tell us a little bit more about herself. Tell us who you are. What do you do?
Yeah. First of all, I'm God's girl. I think that's my first intro thing.
Yeah.
And as you said, I'm married to Kat, to Katlego, and we have three kids, Tehila, she's 7, and Bokang, he's 5, and Renang just turned 2.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm also a working mom. I don't know if you guys know that Netflix show, Working Moms.
Yes.
I'm one of those. I'm an industrial engineer. My kids don't believe me because they say you don't have tools, you don't fix things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm an industrial engineer, and I've been in the operations, manufacturing space, but I've since moved into the people side of things. So I consider myself a culture engineer. I'm in organizational culture. Wow. And at the moment working with leaders and leadership development, and I'm really loving that.
Yeah. So how does your time work? I know I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you work full days? Is it flexible? How does it look from day to day?
You could say I work the typical 9 to 5. It's a full-time job.
Yeah.
But since COVID and hybrid work coming more to the fore, it's brought in a level of flexibility that's been a game changer. So working remotely most days of the week, I go to the office one day a week. The rest of the time, it means there's less time spent traveling between Joburg and Pretoria, and I can use my time more focused, you know, whether it's work or the rest of life. Full-time job with some flexibility because of hybrid work.
Yeah, for sure. So tell us, you know, as we're talking about balancing work life, mom life, what are some of the challenges that you face as a working mom of three?
The most practical thing is that it's time, because there's more. Things that need your attention, because there is that full-time job and there's family, which happens to be three relatively small kids, and that does require time. I read or heard something that says you pay attention it's a value thing, and for me that translates to your time, right? That's you pay attention, that's how you can spend your time.
Mm.
And the biggest challenge is that you need to kind of use that limited time or attention and spread it out over your work, over family, over your marriage, over yourself, yeah, and everything else. So men having using the time in a way that gets to everything is probably the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, things like hybrid work helps a lot.
Yeah.
And your team or community, those are the things that make it possible for me.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I mean, if I talk to or I think about my own experience, that my biggest challenge is being fully present in all these roles, because it feels like, you know, I need to be all things to all men. When you're working hard, then you feel like, yes, I'm not giving enough to my kids. Or if I'm with my kids, I feel like, you know, oh, I still have work to finish.
Mm.
So it does feel like you're torn between these two worlds. I don't know if it feels like that for you.
Definitely. And I don't know if it's a woman thing or if it's just a normal human thing, but it's sometimes a little bit tricky to keep everything in neat boxes.
Yes.
Where you're fully in work mode and fully in gym mode, or I'm at school now with the kids. We kind of interwoven in how we view the world, or we can be that way.
Yes.
And so for me, it's called for more intentionality to be fully present when I'm focused on any particular area of my life. So I really try that when I'm at home or when I'm doing homework with the kids or playing, that I'm fully present. If there's work that's not complete or there's something due the next day, that's not the time for that.
Yeah.
And I think that's only because it's limited. Mm. The capacity is only so much, and you can only be your best, be it as a professional or in whatever role, if you're fully there.
Yes.
Knowing that there's a start and end, and then you need to wear your other hat.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to wear both at the same time.
Yeah.
But I agree with you that being fully present, it makes a difference.
Yeah, no, for sure. Okay, we're going to carry on chatting to Renee in a moment. We still have lots to chat about. That was Champion of Heaven by NCFC Worship. So we're chatting to Renee, and I think one of the phrases that we hear a lot as moms is mom guilt. Mm. And I always kind of thought it's just like a catchy little saying, but as my kids get older, I realize how much that is something I struggle with myself. And so is that something you struggle with? I think a lot of moms, most moms I speak to, all feel like they're not doing a good enough job. They compare themselves to others. What is this journey like for you?
Mom guilt is real, guys. And I think it's because as mothers, we probably really set out to just do the absolute best that we can for our kids. But we're human, we're finite, and we're limited to an extent. So I've come to accept that mom guilt, especially chatting to more experienced moms, moms who've been doing this longer than me, that it's something that might be there regardless of your context or your environment.
Mm.
And so I'm kind of okay with the reality that mom guilt will be there.
Yeah.
But I try to not let it rule me.
Yeah.
So to not influence my decisions, or because then you do things out of fear, and instead of intentionality or love or being motivated by something. So mom guilt is a thing, yes, but I, especially when there's comparison that comes into play, I think it's natural. It does happen where you compare yourself or your mothering to a different situation or to someone else. For me at the moment, I try not always get it right, but I try to first think, okay, what is it that you're seeing that you actually being inspired by? Then it kind of flips the comparison to, hey, I love that about Charles. I'm going to try this, or that's really inspiring. Or if it's just not for me, that I see that, and props to you, and I'm going to stay in my own lane. And that,
sure.
I think that helps to bring you back to where you should be, even with mom guilt and the reality of comparison in motherhood.
Yes, that's so profound. Wow, you said a few things there that are just like, it was so encouraging for me. So I think the last thing you said was rather look at someone and think, okay, what is inspiring about the way that they mother? I love that because, you know, we idolize people and we want to be exactly like them, but it's impossible to compare. The same way you wouldn't compare your child to another child because they're different humans, we need to give ourselves that same grace, but rather look at what they're doing right and just find inspiration there. You know, is it something that I could implement? If not, because it's just not who I am, then that's okay. You know, I think that's so great. And then one of the things you said in the beginning was, you know, if we parent out of fear based, then we kind of stop being intentional, which I also think is so profound. Thank you, Renee. I'm loving this. It's, you know, you've been a mom a bit longer than me and you've got three kids, and I love learning from other moms and just hearing how they do things. And that's why it's so good to have these conversations, because then we realize, you know, we were talking a moment ago about feeling overstimulated, like noise, you know, and we think it's just us, but almost every mom I talk to says by the end of the day, the noise from the kids is unbearable. It's like too much for our ears. And I think if we talk about these things, then we feel less bad. You know, we're not bad people.
A little bit more normal. After my third child, I just noticed I'm so much more sensitive to sound. And the kids are just louder. And yeah, after our chat now, I realized it's more common than I realized. It's not just a me problem.
Yeah.
And yeah, finding ways or language to work with it. I would feel bad for saying, you know, why are you shouting, and trying to manage the noise. And now we have a new language, that we have a sound cloud. So we imagine that our voices have a color and are like a cloud. And then we talk about, hey, your sound cloud is like breaking the walls, or it's really swallowing us up. And the kids can understand that. And then we cope.
Yeah.
We cope as much as we can in a busy house with three little ones.
Yeah. No, that's such a good. I love that picture, SoundCloud. And yeah, I've also now bought noise cancelling headphones. And by the end of the day, I just put them on. Don't worry, it doesn't mean I can't hear them at all. It just takes the edge off the sound. It just takes away that like very sharp, high sound. And so it just helps me be a little bit more peaceful and a little bit nicer. And I think we often, as moms, feel bad to do that. We feel bad to do anything for ourselves. We feel like we must just cope with it all. But the reality is that it is just hard. Yeah. I saw something the other day. It's like, you're not a bad parent. Parenting is just hard. And it's hard for everyone. We're going to chat more about what Renee has held on to, scriptures, advice, things that have kind of kept her going. So stay tuned for that. So what are some of the truths that you hold on to? I think we all have maybe a piece of advice or a scripture or a truth that we hold on to that kind of just keeps us going from day to day. And I'm sure it changes as the season changes. But what are some of the things that really help encourage you and keep you going?
Yeah, there are a few things. I'm really energized by purpose. So in anything that I do, if there's purpose to it, it already gives me the strength or energy. So I'd say the first one would be knowing your why in whatever I'm doing. If I am a working mom, why am I a mom? Okay. But why is being a mom such an important thing? Why do I value and prioritize being a hands-on mom? Why do I work outside the home and do the work that I do? Because you need those answers for when you are challenged, either by yourself or society or the community or anybody else. And once you have your clarity on this is why this is important to me, this is why I want or need this, then you are solid.
Yeah, that's really good. Is there something that someone has told you before? Or let me rather ask this. What are the things that help? And it could be practical things. I think you mentioned before, like community and a support system. What are some of the things that are just really helpful for you?
Practically, I cannot do it all and get to everything. And I used to be that mother. I remember with my first, where I didn't I didn't need any help. I thought I didn't need any help, and I was going to just do everything myself. But life has a way of humbling you.
Oh, totally.
And this year is probably the year that I've even reached out the most in terms of asking for help. Mm. And it's humbling to also not just ask for help, but also receive help when it's offered. And my community, they say it takes a village to raise a child. It takes an even bigger village to raise three kids and work. As I said, Katleho he's not just a partner because we are married, but we do life together. And he's the most amazing dad. He's very hands-on, and it's not about it's the kids, so it's your job. We share that load. And we have Sesaliwe, who's been with us for almost 8 years now. I see her as an extension. She's like my kid's second mom. And beyond that, Ntate Mohulu, that's my dad, he's like the Uber/au pair, so they help with pickups. My sister, Uncle Juan, my mom as well. So I've leaned on our community in that sense. There was even one swimming season where a school mom offered to pick up one of the boys and drop them off at swimming because they were swimming in the same class. And it was hard at first to be like, okay, but what can I do to just pay you back? And I needed to receive that. And it's been a blessing. It's really been a huge blessing in that sense. On my own, even just as a couple, it would be difficult to do what we do professionally as well as in the home without help.
Yeah, I think it's so important what you're saying, and it reminds me of my conversation last week with Caitlin Vinson, who's a psychologist, and she was speaking about this concept of the good enough mother and how, you know, it was a phrase coined by the psychologist in the 1950s. And really that it is impossible for us to be all things to our kids. We cannot possibly fulfill all their needs. And so the bar for what we consider as like a good enough mom is actually lower than we think. And I'm not saying don't be there for your kids. What I'm saying is I think we put a lot of additional responsibilities on our shoulders and think we have to do it all alone. We have to be all things to our kids, like doctor, and, you know, cook, like au pair, like all those things. But kids, they've shown that like the kids that are the healthiest are actually those who grow up with, I think the phrase she used was a multi-caregiver model. So where there are many people actually like actively involved in raising your kids, those kids actually do really well. And so, you know, what you're saying, you're describing that now in practicality. You've got so many people, but the important point is actually to humble yourself, like you say.
Yeah. And let go, because there's a sense of wanting to be in control of everything.
Yeah.
But
it's true.
It's humility and also faith or trusting God with it all and letting go that, it can be done. It might not be always me doing it myself or being there. And there's a level of letting go that comes with that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I've shared this quote a few times, but it's the opposite of faith is not fear, it's control.
Sure.
So actually, like having faith is letting go of that control, trusting our kids or trusting God with our kids' lives. So we are going to say goodbye to Renee in a moment. But first is You Are Mine by Gareth Trent. So we're going to have to say goodbye to Renee in a moment. But is there anything else you just want to leave us with, a final thought, a final comment?
I'll just say, you know, balance looks different for everyone, if there's even such a thing. But in whatever context that we're in, whether we're working in the home, outside the home, one child or just a dog or five. For me, I'll just say, if God is our source, if we can fully come to that understanding that God is my source, then whatever we get from being a parent or from working, whether it's validation, a sense of purpose, affirmation, God is our source, and so everything else doesn't become an idol.
Yeah.
Doesn't control us or guide which way our life goes and shapes, is shaped, but it's all flowing from God. So I'll just say, keeping him at the center and prayer, lots of prayer, would be a great way in all of us really finding that flow. I wouldn't say balance, but that flow.
Yeah. Thank you, Renee. That's such a great way to wrap up. Just keep God at the center. Thank you so much for being here and just
Thanks
for your
for
wisdom
me.
And just sharing your heart and your life. I think hearing stories from other moms just makes us feel like we're not alone, that we are not doing a bad job, you know, that we are actually the best moms for our kids.
Absolutely.
You know, we couldn't possibly compare ourselves to another mom because we don't know what people are facing. We don't know what people's capacity looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, just letting go of that ideal and just leaning into the life that we do have and just trusting God day to day.
Enjoying that adventure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Renee. You're such a blessing. And yeah, thank you for sharing.
Thanks, Charles. Thank you for having me.
Great, guys. So tomorrow we're going to wrap up the whole Messy Motherhood series, but I'm still going to be with you until 12. Your news is going to be here shortly at 11. So we'll be back in a moment.